All right, welcome everybody to the August 18th Hyperledger Technical Steering Committee call. We do have a number of people joining today who have not previously joined us, so I'm going to make sure we cover the antitrust policy notice in a bit more detail. So just FYI, this meeting is covered by the Linux Foundation's antitrust policy notice here. If you have any sort of questions or concerns, please contact Hyperledger staff, your legal counsel, or even Andrew Updegrove of the firm Gesmer Updegrove with any questions that you might have. The second thing that we have to abide by on this call is the code of conduct, which is linked in our agenda. Everybody is welcome to participate here, but make sure that you are respectful to the other people who are on the call. So with that, we'll go through the announcements. The first announcement here is a standard announcement. There is a Dev Weekly developer newsletter that goes out each Friday to hundreds of Hyperledger developers. If you have something that you would like to reach those developers, please leave a link in the comment. Or leave a comment in the link that is linked in our agenda here. So there's a wiki page that you can provide your comments. The second announcement I have is that I would like to cancel the September 15th Hyperledger Technical Steering Committee call because I personally will be on a plane back from the Hyperledger Global Forum. And I'm imagining that there will be a number of other people in some sort of travel state as well. So I just wanted to make that announcement before we actually canceled it from the calendar. Does anybody have any objections to doing so?
No objection.
All right, thanks, Dana. All right, and then the last thing here, I don't know, Emily, did you want to cover this?
Absolutely. Good morning, all. I'm Emily. I'm from the PR team, and I just put a note in here. I think Rise put this out on Discord as well, but as Global Forum is just around the corner, we are looking to highlight project news. I know of a couple things that I think are out there, but it would be great to have as much, and it doesn't have to be breaking news. It would be great if it was breaking news, but anything recent and noteworthy in terms of project releases, standards, labs, new projects, anything along those lines that you want highlighted, I just need to know about it by Monday, August 29th, so we can plan it into the news cycle and, as appropriate, plan some blog content as well to support it. So quick call for that. If you have something, please email the pr@hyperledger.org email address. That would be great. I'm also on Discord some, but the PR, truthfully, the PR address is a more reliable way to reach me.
All right, thank you, Emily. Any other announcements that anybody would like to make at this time? All right, so with that, I did leave the Aries and the Indy reports on the agenda. They were came in, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, maybe. But there were still a number of people who hadn't reviewed them. I didn't see any comments coming through on those, so I will end up removing them from the agenda for next week. But is there any questions or comments that anybody has on either the Aries or the Indy report that we should cover? Okay, so no hands, nobody coming off mute. I'll take that as a no. We also have the Aroha report. It was supposed to be due last Thursday. So we will reach out to the Aroha team and see if we can get them to submit their quarterly report. I think we actually have a number of people on the call today. So
we have completed the report. It is due for a final proofread. Will be submitted today, tomorrow at the latest.
All right, thanks. Okay, so that's the announcements and the quarterly reports. We do have the bevel report I see has been being worked on. We kind of got at it and then removed from that. So I expect that to be coming in here shortly. The grid and the transact reports are due next week. So we will look to see those as well. So with that, I think we are on to the meat of the agenda. So I don't know who's sharing, but if you wouldn't mind scrolling down. All right. So we have two items of discussion today. The first one is the Solang project proposal that has been provided. The second one is been added here by Rai on behalf of the Aroha team to talk about the URSA library and the way in which we get that updated. So I think I'm going to actually start with the second item. I was told it won't take a whole lot of time to cover this, but I think it is probably the place where we should start, and then we will jump to the Solang project proposal and have a discussion on that. So I don't know, Alexander, are you going to be talking about this, or do we have somebody else who's going to be talking about this?
It's fine. I'll cover this.
All right.
So just as a brief reminder, Hyperledger URSA is the unified cryptographic library written in Rust, but it also provides a C ABI compatible library version. And it is currently in a state which is causing problems for Iroha. Basically, the first problem that we have encountered was that we had to hold back a few major cryptographic dependencies due to Hyperledger URSA using older, unupdated versions of those libraries. We dug a little deeper. We identified a couple of CVEs. We have contacted the URSA developers and are waiting for a response for the past 3 months. Unfortunately, nothing happened. And we contacted Rai, who generously offered us help. The way we would like it to be resolved is, of course, for URSA maintainers to return and to help us with updating their library. But as far as I know, this is not possible. So an alternative was proposed, making a few of us, a few of the maintainers of Iroha, co-maintain Hyperledger URSA. Unfortunately for that, we would need a little bit more resources. Right now we're stretched a little thin. We already have an at capacity team of 12 people. We can't spare more developer time, and we can't spare more than a few people's part-time attention to maintaining URSA. We would, however, be able to change or revise this, provided that we had a little bit more resources, so that we could hire at least someone to replace the lost time in Iroha, or ideally someone with security proficiencies so that they could also co-review our contributions to URSA. We're also planning, if, of course, the second option is inevitable, to make some small alterations so that URSA is easier to maintain in the future. In particular, we're moving away from a few deprecated libraries and relying more on Rust core rather than external dependencies, just like with Iroha. We would like to also offer our experience with testing, fuzzing, and code quality so that we can help URSA remain both reliable and easy to use. And I guess that's it from my side.
Jim?
Hey, Alex, Alexandra.
Nice to meet
you. Yeah, first question from me is, besides Iroha, do you know other either Hyperledger projects or customer projects that are dependent on URSA?
I'm guessing that Rai Jones would be more qualified to answer this question. I am unfortunately focused on Iroha development.
Yeah, I'm just curious if finding the other dependent projects and work out the resource issue might be a worthwhile effort at this point. I can't imagine Iroha being the only project using Ursa.
I don't know off the top of my head, and unfortunately, Hart is not on this call. I have to defer. I know that I think Grid was looking at it for a while. I don't know though.
Okay. I guess the other question.
Hold on, Jim. I think Nathan might have an answer to some of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Ares projects are making use of Ursa. Indy uses it to a certain extent. We know that Iroha has been using it, but I don't know of any other projects that are using it in production. There have been some projects to do verifiable credentials from Fabric and some of the other blockchains at Hyperledger that have made use of Ursa, but I don't think any of them were released into a production environment. There's more to say about some of the security stuff as well, if we want to dive down that track, but I think that the focus here is on what Iroha wants to do next so far.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like if Indy / Ares are using Ursa to the same extent that Iroha is, the same problem would be present there as well. So maybe the teams can work together. The next related question I had is, so for the Iroha team, if it's not Ursa, do you have a alternative? From open source point of view, if you need something changed in the dependency and no one is doing that, usually it's the dependent team that has to contribute resources. That's certainly been our experience. There's just no other way to make it work, right?
Well, certainly, yes. However, we are far from the only users, as far as I can tell. And it would not make sense for us to unilaterally contribute to significant architectural changes in Ursa. Unfortunately, one of the deprecated libraries is failure. And that library is an error handling library that requires a significant restructuring of the code. It will produce a semantically incompatible, assembler incompatible version of Ursa. And we don't want to do that unilaterally. We want to at least know if there are other people involved, know if there are other people interested in maintaining it. And if so, we'd like to be aware of their requirements and their necessities.
All right,
Makoto. Yeah, I was going to ask, like, is there a way that we can, or maybe through the TSC or Hyperledger Foundation, like, if there's a way to put out, like, some kind of, like, call for participation in the Ursa project? Like, we could help to coordinate, this maintenance if there were a few interested developers from other Hyperledger members, for instance.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting suggestion, Makoto. Nathan?
I think one of the first steps here is to show up on the Ursa call. There has been a resurgence of interest from DSR and the Avast folks and a few others in doing some of this maintenance work. But apparently we haven't heard from the Iroha folks on that call. I'm reaching out to Cam over chat right now and talking to him about what he's heard about this issue and what he hasn't heard about this issue. It looks like we have some disconnect between the things that are going on the security list and the maintainers in Ursa. So not everybody in the Ursa project is aware of the issues that Iroha is facing. So that would probably be the first step, is to try to make sure everybody on the project knows what's going on. And it could just be there's a communication gap. I know Cam in particular and the folks at Kiva, we have been less connected to this than we were in the past, as Kiva pulled back some of its project work on Hyperledger Ares. So some of this, I think, is just kind of a transition gap that we're seeing on Ursa, and less an indicator of overall project health. But the fact that we went from the 3rd to the 12th for a response, and that I'm asking core maintainers on Ursa and they still haven't heard about the issue, is indicative of some communications problems.
Thanks for that, Nathan. I think that's probably a good step to take as far as next steps. It also brings to mind some of the work that's being done by the Security Task Force for making sure that we have the right security contacts in the list to ensure that, you know, people who need to be aware of security issues coming in are aware of those issues. So that's probably something else we can follow up on as a next step as well, is to make sure that we have communication with the URSA maintainers and make sure that we know who the right security contacts are from that group of people to ensure that when they're made aware of these issues, when they come up and can start to address them or at least have conversations in this regard. So yeah, I think two next steps that I heard coming out of this discussion. One is for the Aroha team to join the URSA community calls and have discussions with them. And then secondly, for us to make sure that we have the right contacts in the security list to ensure that URSA is represented as they need to be. Any other discussion that we should have on this particular topic?
I think we're clear.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing this to our attention, and hopefully this, through having conversations directly with the URSA maintainers and their community calls, will help to at least get some movement on the challenges here that you have. All right, so then the next topic here on our agenda is the Solang project proposal. We do have Sean here to talk to us about this proposal. I have seen a few comments here in the GitHub pull request, but Sean, did you wanna talk us through kind of the proposal and let us know kind of where Solang's at the moment?
Hello. Okay, so as far as I'm aware, the comments on the pull request being addressed. I could give like a brief little background on Solang. So originally I was working on Burrow, and we were using the Ethereum Solidity compiler to use things to compile Solidity. And I wanted to do things that the compiler couldn't do. We opened some issues on the SolC compiler GitHub repo, had some discussions, and they showed really no interest. And then I started to realize that in the wider blockchain, there would be interest in a compiler which would support Solidity for other targets than EVM. And other targets on Ethereum. Started building compiler from scratch. The idea was to use LLVM so that the tricky parts for code generation would be, we didn't have to deal with that. That could be done by LLVM. And we only need to work on the front end of the compiler. So the parsing, semantic analysis, and the LLVM intermediate representation generation. Right now we support nearly all the same syntax as Ethereum Solidity, so 0.8. There are a few minor exceptions, and no one's raised any issues about that yet, and we'll resolve those minor issues as well. So while the project was growing, I have spoken to various Hyperledger, other Hyperledger projects. So I spoke to Mick Bowman about adding support for Solidity for the private data objects project. We started some initial code that didn't really, unfortunately, code didn't really develop from there, but there's definitely a lot of interest. Also had some brief discussions with Michael Wout about supporting Fabric via the Fabric Contracts API. That seemed like a good idea, but no work was started for that, but also a definite interest. We wrote a prototype for Sawtooth, and lots of discussions and calls with Sean Amundsen about how to further progress that. Again, there's a problem of sort of putting bodies on the project, but definitely interest from that project as well. So Solang is, it isn't just a generic compiler project. It also provides building blocks for tooling. So There's a Solidity code formatter which has been written based on Solang's parser, using Solang parser create. We've written a using the Hyperledger mentorship 2 years back, a language server for Solidity. So this is something you can use in VS Code, for example. So it gives you syntax highlighting and errors and hovers and that sort of thing. It can also be used in Atom and in NeoVM. The other interesting thing is that existing static analysis tools often work in LLVM IR. And Saucy doesn't produce LLVM IR, so those tools won't work with that. So I've been talking to Jeff Wang, a professor from Texas A&A University, about doing static analysis on Solidity using Solang. That's the Green Core project. So that's also an interesting angle. I guess lastly, the point I would like to say is that compiling smart contracts is kind of different than a traditional compiler, which makes this project interesting, I feel. So normally with a compiler, you would balance the execution time of the compiler with how optimized your compiler output is. But with smart contracts, the balance is different. The contract is quite small. So you're dealing with just a small amount of code, and the need for optimization is much higher. On chains like Ethereum, the gas cost is such that if you can optimize the output more, there are genuine cost savings, especially over many runs, which can be very significant. So there are compiler techniques like super optimization, concordic execution, which is concrete and symbolic execution. Methods that can be used to optimize smart contracts. It's a very interesting field. And so Solang, for example, has a pass which replaces 256-bit multipliers with 64-bit multipliers. And it uses execution in order to implement that. And that's something you wouldn't do in a traditional compiler, because if you would do that on a large program, the execution time of the compiler would just be far too great. So the Solana and subset communities are very interested. The targets are very much maturing, and there's definite activity around that. And lastly, we would like to work on an EVM backend. And we've only just had discussions about changing the WASM target to EVM, which would be another very interesting thing to work on. I guess that's it.
All right, thanks, Sean. So as everybody probably remembers or might remember, this is the second time that Solang has come to the TSC to propose this project into incubation. The last time we chatted, I think the main concern was really around the maintainership. I think it was Sean at that point, right? And since then, there have been a couple of new additions to the maintainership of the project. And so I guess at this point, open for any sort of questions that people might have for Sean on Solang, or any sort of discussion items that we should talk through. I know we've had a couple of conversations prior to this in our TSC calls last week in the project gap. So anything else that we should bring up at this point?
I just wanted to mention that the other maintainers, Lucas and Cyril, they're also on the call, available for questions.
Great, thanks, Sean.
Hey, thanks, Sean, for the presentation. So, sorry, a quick question. Maybe it's a question that's bugging me for a while now. So, which products are like competing with, let's say, Solang, for instance? So, can you share some information, some thoughts on?
So, there's So for the Solidity language, there's the Ethereum Solidity compiler, SolC, and that only targets Ethereum. So that's obviously a competitor for that. There's also a project called Sol, but that is a Solidity compiler, but it doesn't development has ceased. It can only target EWASM, and EWASM probably isn't developing either. As far as compilers, the only competitor we have is the Ethereum compiler, but that only targets Ethereum. Does that answer your question?
Sorry, yeah, I have, I think my question extends to that, right? So the reason I was asking for that is, so when we say, so that people don't need to familiarize themselves with other programming languages, that if they are Solidity developers, that this particular project can cross-compile it for them across other blockchains, other non-Ethereum blockchains. So are we talking about Ethereum-compatible blockchains itself, or like non-Ethereum, since specifically you mentioned it as non-Ethereum compatible, just for a time, let's say, namesake, because Fabric is the other most popular one apart from Base. So let's say people come here and they say, okay, there is a Solang project, can I write my Solidity and compile it into a chain code, for instance? That's kind of question that people can come up with, right? So just to have that understanding, so what exactly is happening inside Solang, or is there any competitor projects that does something like what here it's happening?
So Solang can compile, there's a generic part in Solang which compiles Solidity, but there's a target specific part. So at the moment we can target Solana substrate and EWASM, and we certainly have a lot of interest in developing this for Fabric as well. At the moment it's not possible yet. So when Solidity state is accessed, for example, you have to hook up the blockchain specific parts. But the aim is very much for Solang to target many different blockchains.
Understood. So the way we should understand currently the Solang is, it is compiling. I mean, sure, it is cross compiling or Solidity into multiple like the outcome binaries. However, all those binaries are currently compatible with the ones that support, let's say, EVM itself, right? So.
No, this is not true. No. Solana, Polkadot, and EWASM are not EVM. But those are not EVM virtual machines. These are completely different virtual machines. So Polkadot is a WebAssembly kind of virtual machine, non-EVM. EWASM is also WebAssembly, and Solana uses a different virtual machine based on the Linux kernel BPF. So this project makes Solidity available to non-EVM chains.
I should have questioned that as some blockchain that supports Ethereum smart contracts, not necessarily via EVM.
Okay. So this project is so that the blockchain itself doesn't make any changes to. There's no changes made to the blockchain itself. The compiler just has a target which implements all the blockchain specific parts for that, for each blockchain.
Jim?
Two questions. The first one was kind of answered already, so just want to confirm my understanding. I thought Solang was mainly targeting WebAssembly based runtime engines, but based on what Sean just said, that's not the case. Substrate and UASM is WebAssembly based, but Solana is not. Is that understanding correct?
Yes, that's correct. And this is the great thing about using LLVM.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's clear. My second question is, can you talk a little bit about the level of effort now and expect that in the future to add a new execution engine support, say, how much of the code has to be rewritten to support? I don't know if Fabric is a good example. I don't know. Let's say to support Cosmos, for example. It's a bit pointless to say learn Solidity and then compile to a full language that Fabric supports. I think I would just go to the full language directly. So I wouldn't use Fabric as a good example for future expansions, but maybe Cosmos. What would be the level of effort to add that support?
So well, I'm glad you asked about Cosmos, because Cosmos is something I looked at in the past and to evaluate how much work it would be. So Cosmos, it's a WASM WebAssembly based virtual machine. So generating WebAssembly is not the problem. The problem of the effort will be required in hooking up all the blockchain specific parts. So in Solidity, you can do things like ask the current block height or save something on chain or retrieve something from chain or get the time, lots of sorts of things. So all those specific blockchain specific things need to be hooked up. And in Cosmos, that's done over protobuf. So the effort that's required would be to, for all those things, is to translate a request or compile a request in Solidity into a protobuf request, and which then goes to a WebAssembly host function at runtime, and then the answer sent back, and then we have to deprotobuf the result. So for for each one of those functions, we need to create a protobuf request and pass the result, and then the next part is lots of testing, writing integration tests for the chain. I guess another thing is when you call a Solidity contract, you call a function and function arguments. That's also done via protobuf on Cosmos. So the function arguments and return values will have to be deserialized and serialized using protobuf. That's the work required to get Solidity working. There might be some functions in Cosmos which are very useful to have access to in Solidity. So it might be needed to add a few functions, built-in functions in Solang for Cosmos. We've done this for Solana, and we've done this for Substrate. You can do an import from Solana in Solidity, and then you can import specific built-in Solana functions and call them. Does that answer your question?
That helps a lot. I'm trying to figure out if someone were to add support to a new smart contract engine, would that person, what's the most important skill? Would it be understanding compiler architectures, or I just need to know how the internals of that new runtime works? I don't have to know how to build compilers. I'm just trying to figure out how likely is Solang in the future going to expand to support other blockchains.
So the effort is very much around understanding the target VM and the interface, and not so much the blockchain or the compiler architecture. It does get quite tricky, because when things don't work, you are working on quite a low level in WebAssembly or so, and you might end up having to sort of step through some WebAssembly code to understand why it doesn't work. But that's very much sort of runtime VM kind of issues, and the compiler side for a new target probably isn't a huge issue, and that's certainly something we can, we're always available to help with should that arise.
Great, that helps a lot. Thanks, Sean.
Anna?
So I just want to point out that they really did a good job fixing the two big issues that were around the last time they came up. They got the three maintainers, and there are also a large number of very viable real world use cases along with the interest we're seeing here. So I think now is absolutely the right time to bring this in. This doesn't impact the admission, but I think something that would be useful to see is how they handle standard Solidity contracts being fed straight in, like all the Open Zeppelin. Would be an interesting test case to figure out where the rough spots are, and might also open up a utility for people who'd want to say just run the Open Zeppelin fabric Open Zeppelin tokens on Fabric or some other chain. But that has no bearing on whether or not on my acceptance of this. So that's just a point of information.
You're absolutely right. Putting Open Zeppelin is an off requested feature. Cyril has just opened an issue for that, and it's something which is on our roadmap.
All right, thanks, Dana. Any other comments? Any concerns that people might have with bringing Solang in as a top level project? Or any other support that anybody wants to state at this point? Arun?
I definitely want to go through technical details. I'm interested more after understanding these much details, right? One more question now that Sean is on the call. Just from a community support point of view, and some of the other blockchains that are listed over here, are they have their own ecosystem in terms of maintainers and developers, the community, right? So how is the reception from them on this project? Is this being communicated to them as well?
Oh, absolutely. There's Lucas and I both work for Solana, and we're very we get a lot of interest from the community. People basically for two reasons: people want to take the existing Solidity contracts and run them on Solana, or they don't really want to learn Rust. Some people just feel that understanding Rust is too much of an ask, and would rather just keep the Solidity. There's a lot of interest in that community, in Substrate as well. We are on various Discord servers and Telegram groups.
Sir?
Yeah, sure. I can add to that there is interest on using Solang for targeting the Substrate runtime. We are aware of parachain teams that want to use it in production, and they actually plan to do that.
Well, Lucas,
I just wanted to compliment what Shen was saying. On the Solana side, the company promotes some events to divulge what the network's doing and to make people build on Solana. And we've been part of some of those events, trying to encourage people to use Solidity to build the projects. And we've seen some interest. And as Sean mentioned, people are trying to use the existing contracts on Solana, and we are making efforts to help these people build on Solana using Solidity.
All right, thanks, Lucas. Any other discussion items from the TC or anyone else on the call?
A small question about the API stability plans for the Solang. If it's going to be interoperable with WebAssembly in some way.
I'm sorry, I missed that. The API stability, in what way?
In a sense of backwards compatibility, is the Solang compiler, so to speak, going to be backwards compatible with all the smart contracts on the binary level? On the binary level, in the sense that all the smart contracts compile to the exact same binary representation, or effectively the same binary representation.
Well, the output is, we make conscious effort to make sure that the output is deterministic. We certainly have box fixes for that. We're not on the binary level. We have to be compatible with what the language says. That doesn't sort of change. New version of stability don't really change functionality. They just add functionality. They wouldn't change the execution function.
Okay, thank you.
Dano?
So the way that the Ethereum Solidity compiler deals with this binary reproducibility problem is a lot of the contracts will lock into a specific version of Solidity. So as long as it's a deterministic compiler and it always produces the same result for each version, I would expect that it would have the same security story is Solidity. If you lock into a specific version of Solang and you compile down to that specific, always use that specific version to compile it, you'll always get the same results. That's about as the highest qualities you can get for a repeatable build within the EVM ecosystem. So if they can do the same for WASM targets, they'll be in the same position that Ethereum is, which I think is fairly reasonable for the constraints.
All right, any other questions? I'm not hearing anybody speak up against this. Is Artem?
So it's not a question, it's more about comment. I see that Solang is mostly focusing on Ethereum-based blockchain or EVMs. And we have very few, we have Bezo, which is a Ethereum client, but most of the blockchain projects, I'm just trying to understand and see how it fits into the current portfolio of the projects that we have within Hyperledger. And we followed a roadmap or a kind of a vision of how it's integrated into the major projects like Fabric or Softoof. It's very hard to judge and see how we can help to build community around this project being incubated into the Hyperledger.
So we certainly have had discussions in the past about using Solang for other projects. So we've had this conversation with Fabric, with Sawtooth, and with private data objects. So at the moment, there's no plans were definitely made. Work wasn't unfortunately started, but that certainly doesn't stop it from us doing that in the future. We're very interested in adding more targets to Solang. The more projects work with Solang, the more successful the project is. Does that help?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, any other discussion items?
Should we move to vote?
I guess that's a Yes, if everybody, if there's no other conversation, I think that's where we're at.
So Dan, I put a motion to accept Solang as incubation project at Hyperledger, as described in the PR.
I'll second that.
All right. Thanks, Dano. Thanks, Jim. Okay. Rye, did you want to take us through a vote?
Of course. I will choose by the order will be who has the longest name in the list. Troy, in the matter before the TSC, how do you vote? Troy.
He's used to being last.
Okay, we'll come back to Troy. Artem.
I will abstain.
Arun.
Can we do this next week? Because I definitely want to read more and come back. Or can I give my opening later through email? Is it okay?
Tracy?
Well, I mean, we've had the motion and the second. I think we're at the point where we're ready to vote.
It's difficult. I need some more time. I'll probably abstain, but I'll change my vote. I may change my vote after reading more, if it's allowed.
Okay, two abstains. Dano?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Kamlesh?
Yes.
Nathan?
Yes.
Tracy?
Yes.
Troy? Well, the motion passes anyway, but congratulations.
All right. Thanks, Sean, Cyril, Lucas. Congratulations on becoming the newest incubated project within Hyperledger.
Fantastic.
Now the hard part. What's your new name going to be?
So, let's see. I'm just trying to figure out who's on the call. Daniela, do we want to take this, or David, do we want to take this to the marketing committee? I know in the proposal it did say Hyperledger Solang, unless somebody at the Hyperledger decided that that was not the way that we wanted to go.
Sure. There's a naming process that we now jump into. So we will start that process up and reach out to Sean and the rest of the maintainers. So, and congratulations to the maintainers. We're looking forward to working with you to get Solang as a project announced over the next few weeks as well. So we will take it from here, Tracy. I actually have a call with the marketing committee chairs next. So okay. We'll put it on there and reach out. Thank you, everyone.
All right, thanks, Daniela. Any other discussion items that we should have that weren't on our agenda that we should close out with today? All right. So with that, I guess we'll close the call for this week, and we will talk again next week. Again, congratulations to the Solang team for being incubated within Hyperledger.
Congratulations. Yep. Bye-bye.